Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Outreach Radio, brought to you by the Elite Speakers Bureau. Join ESB owners and your hosts, Denise Brown and Danielle Pierre, as they discuss and interview their expert speakers regarding topics such as violence prevention, school safety, suicide prevention, addiction and recovery, mental health and wellness, leadership, and more. Denise and Danielle also interview event hosts about their upcoming events, so tune in weekly to ask questions, find solutions, or get event information. All showtimes to be announced. And now, here's your hosts, Denise and Danielle.
Hi, everyone. This is Denise, and Danielle, unfortunately, is not going to be joining us. She was flying all night, and with the weather out there in the Midwest and the East Coast, it's just been terrible. So, unfortunately, she is not going to make it, but what we do have today is a fantastic guest, and I think you're really going to enjoy him. And I'm going to introduce him now. And through martial arts, Jim Bouchard transformed himself from dropout, drug abuser, and failure to a successful entrepreneur and black belt. Jim has been teaching people how to access peak levels of performance and develop personal and professional mastery for more than 25 years. He is a true master of the mindset needed for success in business and in life. Jim, welcome to the show. Jim, are you there? Welcome.
Yes, Oh, thanks for your hospitality. It's really great to be visiting with you.
Well, I have to ask you a question. I'm reading this, and I am looking, and I am sitting here, and I'm seeing drug abuse, dropout, failure, and I'm hearing all these words. Were you bullied as a child?
Oh, what a great resume, though, huh? No, I wasn't bullied as a child at all, but I had, you know what, it's interesting, because I was thinking about that a little bit, and I did have issues with my dad, and, I'm not assigning blame, but over time, hindsight is a great teacher, right? And I can see that, when I got involved with drugs, a lot of the reason was because I had very low self-esteem. I had no sense of self-value or self-worth, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the drugs were, in a large measure, trying to make up for the lost time, so to speak, or to try to mask pain that I had because I didn't have a closeness with my dad that I had wanted. But again, that's not blaming. Blame only is useful right, to identify a problem. After that, you got to get on with it. But no, the martial arts started really as part of my recovery. It's very easy to quit drugs. It's very difficult to stay off. In fact, a lot of people that quit drugs get a lot of practice at it. You take a few tries at it. I had to find something that gave a sense of obviously of discipline, some sense of purpose and some sense of meaning to what I wanted to do with my life, and martial arts really, really filled that for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, I did that with my son. I had put him into martial arts, and I think he really enjoyed it. He moved up the ladder a little bit. He didn't become a black belt or anything, but he's a pretty tough guy. And it was about actually, I think what he learned most was actually the communication with people and talking and respecting people as opposed to actually fighting. You try to use your words to get out of that as opposed to actually, getting physically involved. And I love the fact that you talk about respect. And I think respect is huge. And I think it's a huge part of life, and people need to respect each other and respect one another. And when you tell us the story about the young man that actually answered your question, you asked what respect is.
Oh, sure. And the thing is, I really appreciate what you're saying there, because to me, we've got so many problems in our society, but the solutions are very simple. They're not easy. We have to have the courage to really embrace them, but a lot of these problems are very simple to solve, and part of the issue with respect is that people just don't know what it is. They demand it, right? They demand it before they extend it, which is absolutely backwards. I think love, respect, and wisdom are three things we have to give unconditionally, and we have to understand what respect is. And, yeah, that leads us to the story you're asking about. It was a young man. In fact, it was one of the first times I was asked to go out and speak. the kids in my martial arts program were being very respectful and were performing well in school. So one of the local schools asked me to come and share my secret with them. I had to tell them, I don't think I have one, but I said, I would love to do that. So anyway, this is an elementary school group. And I was asked to talk
about
respect.
Oh, this was an elementary school. They were that young.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of shocking.
Oh, I thought he was older. Go ahead.
Was.
Wow.
No, but I actually do the same thing for CEO groups, and I always start with the same question. I ask them to define the word respect. It's very difficult for people to come up with a good working definition of it. I think we kind of know it by feeling more than we know it by rationalization. And we have to rationalize what it is. We have to understand it to work with it. So anyway, I asked the question, had the dictionary definition all set. And this young guy, I think he was maybe second or third grade, he stood up and he did that symbol that we do, the fist with the hand covered over it, and he bowed and he said, "Sensei," he said, "respect means taking care of one another." Boy, you could have punched me in the stomach right now. I actually had to sit down and catch my breath for a few. It felt like 5 minutes, right, in those situations. For a few seconds, I caught my breath, and I didn't know what to say. I stood up. All I could think of to do was to stand up, and I bowed to him, and I said, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what respect means. So I threw out the definition that I had, and I adopted his, and literally, and I can look back at this moment and say, that kid changed my life. I'd love to meet him and thank him. But what better definition?
Oh.
Have you ever heard a better definition?
No, I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I am shocked that this is a second or third grader, because you would think that maybe this was a high school student or something, the way that he responded.
It's amazing, you know, working with children for, you know, 30 or some odd years that I've been doing it, I've always found that, you know, wisdom is not limited just to old bald guys that are living in caves, you know, that's another commodity that should be very accessible and very common to us. If we understand what that means. And this kid just had, you know, he had the wisdom of the elders. I mean, that was just terrific.
So you have been doing, you are a black belt. You are a sensei leader. You wrote a book, The Sensei Leader. Tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, you have the Think Like a Black Belt. I don't know if the Think Like the Black Belt is a part of your the Sensei book or the Sensei Leader book. Is that a part of it, Think Like a Black Belt? Is that like a program that you do for different corporations or communities?
Yeah, thanks for asking. There's actually, we've narrowed it down to two themes, you know, and you've helped so many people, you know, do this speaking business, so I'm sure you'll understand what I'm saying. At first, when we go out, we're fishing for which message is going to resonate, right? And so as we started to experiment over the years, we finally came up with the theme Think Like a Black Belt, which has now become, that focus is really personal and professional mastery. So when we're working in the Think Like a Black Belt theme, and that's the title of one of my books as well, what we're working on is trying to help people unlock their peak performance using the ideas and the lessons that I learned from martial arts. You don't have to kick or punch to do it, right? So we translate it for real life. The sensei leader, obviously, is the leadership track, but what's important about that is that what I'm talking about is leadership at all levels, and I'm not talking about leadership in the academic sense. I go into that very briefly in The Sensei Leader in that book, only to show that, in fact, one of the strategies that I recommend that I learned from martial arts is be a master of, jack of all trades, master of one or two. In leadership these days, you know, people spend so much time debating which leadership style is most effective, which technique, which, you know, academic theory is most effective. And when you really get down to it, with very few exceptions, they all have some application. Just like a martial artist will steal from different systems and styles, right, to develop, you know, your own personal application. So that's what it's all about, to be able to look at those things and to be able to apply that leadership at all levels. Is something I'm so, it's not that I'm passionate about it, I'm a jerk about it. I mean, too many people confuse leadership as something that's reserved just for the leaders, in quotation marks. Leadership at all levels means that every one of us has the ability to inspire others, right, to help them be better people, to lead by example. And that's really what we're trying to do.
So when you talk about the leadership and you talk to different corporations and different different groups of people, you're actually talking to the people that are working in there so that they can work together more efficiently, correct? Is that what you mean by it?
Yeah, it can be anybody.
It could be anybody.
My voice is, Yeah, my voice is a little rough there. I was speaking with a group of business owners earlier today. They are certainly very engaged in this process. And, you know, I really don't find dissent unless I find somebody who's on the verge of failure, because, you know, the things that I'm talking about should be they're common sense things. But again, as martial artists, we learn that the simplest things are the things we have to pay the most attention to, the things we have to practice the most to maintain our skill. It's the same thing with those leadership skills, right? And I think people at the top have to really, right? Yeah, we have to constantly revisit that. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to keep our chops up, right? Well, Stephen Covey said it very well. He said, sharpen your saw. In our tradition, we say sharpen a sword, but it's the same idea, right?
Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. I mean, I sit there and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, wow, this could be utilized in this can be utilized in aspects of life. I mean, this is so helpful for just anybody in life, because I think what people have lost is that respect for one another. So how can you be a leader, or how can you move forward if you don't have respect for one another? And sometimes the simplest things are very complicated for other people. You know, everybody's brain doesn't work the same. So when you sit there and just go, okay, well, just walk outside and sit down, sometimes people make it so complicated just to walk outside and sit down. So I think what you do is you simplify and you give them like these different ideas and different ways of doing it that are simpler, that are simplified. Am I correct in that way?
No, you're exactly correct. And martial artists, by and large, tend to be reductionists. We're looking at the principles, so that we can apply those principles across a broad spectrum. And especially me, and part of it is I've had 12 concussions, so I have to reduce it to something I can remember. But no, you hit it right on the head. And compassion is a big part of what we're talking about right now. And that's something that people overcomplicate. When I'm doing for executives and managers, and again, we go through trying to define it first. We have to understand what we're talking about. Otherwise, we end up in a semantic circle, right? So once we get a clear understanding of what we're talking about, universally people say, oh, yeah, we have to be compassionate for the leaders. We have to have a true sense of empathy. We have to understand what people are going through, you know, the people that I'm serving, the people who are following me. But then when I ask, well, what are you doing about it, right, then we have a whole, of course, that lead session, too, where we try to implement it. But it's interesting to disconnect. And that's what I've noticed. A need that I've noticed out there and I'm trying to fill, because you're right, people get lost in the complexity of life. And I don't think it's because of ill intentions or anything like that. People are busy. They're mixed up in their process and they forget, especially in business, we've got to remember that the relationship between a couple of people, right?
Right. Absolutely. You have written several books. I'm looking here. Think Like a Black Belt. Love Like a Black Belt. Cracking the Code to Being a Happy Couple, and then Dynamic Components of Personal Power. Love Like a Black Belt? What is
terrible
that?
Title, huh? Love Like a Black Belt was a fun project. That was with my friend Dr. Jackie Black. She has a whole series, Cracking the Code to Happy Couples and to working with relationships and business. She's just wonderful. And we actually did that book in the style of a conversation back and forth. And Dr. Jackie, being a relationship expert and a psychologist, she's able to be a little bit more technical, and I comment, more from the philosophical side from my understanding as a martial artist and a student of philosophy. So we had a lot of fun with that project, and we will be bringing that off the back burner again soon. Dynamic Components, I've got to rebrand that one. We've got to bring that out as Black Belt Power for Everyday People, because Dynamic Components just is a terrible title. That was an early effort. It meant what I wanted it to at the time, but nobody can remember that. I don't know. Why would we expect anyone to remember such a convoluted title, right?
It's not about the title. It's about what's inside, right? That's what they have to remember.
You would hope so, right?
Yeah, that's what they have to remember. Think Like a Black Belt. So how long have you been a black belt, Jen?
I wouldn't even venture a guess. I know that a couple of years ago, we celebrated my 25th anniversary in the arts. It took me about 5 or 6 years to get to black belt. I think I started when I was about 1985 or so, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, it took about 5 or 6 years for me to get to black belt. My passion at that time was music. I was in the music business. So I was on the road quite a bit, so it took me a little longer than you know, some people would have been in that particular
environment.
Oh,
see, now I would say that that would be fast, because for me it just seems like to become a black belt or something like that, and to understand it all and to perfect it all would be so complex, and it seems like it would take years and years and years. So I don't know, 5 or 6 years, that kind of sounds like really fast to me, but what do I know? I just
well,
think
the hard
that,
part
I
is keeping it. Getting to black belt's one thing. Keeping it is another, so it's interesting that, you know. Well, you know, I think if you embrace the style, if you embrace the lifestyle of it, then, yeah, it's a continual process. You know, I talk about that. I'll tell this quick story. It's I use this in all my presentations where I talk about the belt that I wear. If you go on that black belt guy, you'll see the actual belt that I wear. And it looks worn and frayed and tattered at this point. When I first got it, of course, you know, after having my experiences with the drums and whatnot, that was the first time in my life that I really felt a tangible sense of accomplishment. So when I got back, my master gave me, they presented one belt, and he gave me a different one. It was a very special one. He said, if you continue your life in the martial arts, you're going to tie and untie this belt thousands of times. You're going to get dragged across the floor, and you're going to sweat, bleed and cry and all that. And he said, it's going to change. Like I said, if you go on the website, you'll see it has. It faded. Then the black belt ring eventually wears off, and there's a white belt underneath. That's the core. It represents our beginning, right? And we call that beginner's mind. That's really the mind of the master. You see, the mind of the master is that we're going to start each new day with a sense of wonder and curiosity. Instead of taking count of what we've accomplished so far, we're going to look at what we can further accomplish. Or, and, you know, we have to be, I like to kind of kick some of the mythology out of it, too, though, because some people look at that and they say, oh, yes, you're always continually learning. You are. You're always continually learning and developing if you embrace this sense of mastery, the way we talk about it, beginner's mind. But sometimes, and a lot of times in business, you know, people do end up with a lot of domain knowledge, and they're not going to go too much further. So that's where I said, you know, but we have to transplant that. That's where the authentic leader really becomes the sensei, becomes a mentor, right, the teacher that guides the next generation. So you apply that domain knowledge and that skill in a little bit different area to mentor other people. But heck, you know, there's always something new to learn. If you've run out of something to learn, give me a shout. I'll sit down with you for a few minutes. We'll figure out something new.
Oh, can I tell you, we are so on the same page on that one. I just really, I get offended. I get really actually kind of pissed off when somebody says, oh, I know it all. I already know that. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, I learn something new every day. And this is the field of domestic violence that I'm in. And it's like, oh, no, I already know everything. And I'm like, oh, my God, please. And I love what you just said. You start each day new. And it's like, okay, well, how do you, you know, you start it new, you start it fresh. How do you kind of transform that into corporate world? Because they've already got all their ducks in a row, and they're kind of like the know-it-alls, and they already have everything all lined up. How do you have them start with a fresh perspective every day? How do you teach somebody to do that?
Well, you know what's exciting for me about what I'm teaching is this, is that I generally get to preach to the choir. Good people.
Can you
understand.
Get off, okay, Jim? Can I interrupt you for a second? Can you get off
the
speaker for 1 second? I think I may be able to hear you a little bit better. For some reason, it just kind of faded out.
Headset. Yeah, let me disconnect the headset here. Sure. Hang on.
Okay.
A little bit. Hello.
Are you there? Yeah. Okay.
Is that better?
I don't know. Okay, let's just try it. It could be my end. It could be.
No, I'm a Blog Talk veteran, too, so it must be the foibles of Blog Talk today. That's okay.
It could be.
Yeah. No, like I said, I'm very blessed in that most of the time I get to preach to the choir, and that, you know, people, if they ask me to come and work with them, they usually understand these ideas, and they understand two things. First of all, that we have to continually practice and develop that, that it's good to hear a different voice to reinforce and validate what they're doing, right? And then, you know, with a different voice, sometimes there's a different perspective, a different angle. And you know, face it, all the best people that I admire are continually looking for help and guidance and mentoring. And I know I couldn't get through life without that. So I think, you know, that's part of it. Now, if you ask me to come and talk to some problem children, well, that's a little different. Then I can say, you know, if there's people forced to be in the room, and let's say there's just 100 people, just to keep it round, 20 of them might not even care about what I'm saying. And I usually say to the managers or executives at that point, I said, those people need to be fired and quick. I said, I'm your best assessment tool. 20 on the top are going to act like it's a revival meeting, and that's fine, you know, because validation is just as important as education. And then we're shooting for that middle 60. Then how can we help those people unlock, you know, these ideas? And you hit on a couple of them earlier, particularly discipline, focus, right, that sense of perseverance.
Right.
Most of the time, people have a little seed of that somewhere. I don't think I could take somebody that has no sense of discipline and instill it there. They have to come to me. They have to take a couple steps toward me, right, for me to help anybody.
Right.
And isn't that true in your world, too, right? You can only help. It certainly was when I was involved with drugs. When someone wanted to help me get off it, I had to make the first effort. I had to want that. So
it's your choice.
You know,
exactly.
We start there. But if there's any little seed there, and it's not complicated. It's just a matter of, like I said, to work with the individual and say, hey, here's where I see you starting, let's say, with discipline. You have some good, meaningful, and productive habits. Let's start to build on those, and let's try to identify and eliminate the negative ones. And, hey, that's all it's about, right? But we have to make an effort. And the sad thing is how few people actually do that, right?
Yeah, that's kind of sad. So you do speak to children as well, or high school students, and get your word out there that way as well, and try to educate them and try to have them have a little bit of discipline. Because I think with a lot of this stuff, when you talk about the respect and the compassion and all of that, I think it needs to start really young. I think people need to understand
better
that,
if it would, right?
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, they really do. I know you do your speaking to corporations and to maybe older people. Is that correct? I mean, to high schools maybe, but the younger ones, I think, really need to hear that word too. And I love the fact when I took my son, I took him into martial arts, and it was just such a great disciplinary thing for him. I mean, just to be there on time was something that it was like, wow. And you know what? He still takes that through his day-to-day living right now, and he's 28 years old. So I think it's something that is the discipline that these kids need today is that discipline in the martial arts field. Is there anything else? I mean, I know you talk about the martial arts side of it, but is there anything that we have not talked about that you really want to talk about just to help these corporations, to help people interact with one another? Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss?
Well, you know, we won't bore them with all the data because they can get that on. We have those short videos, and I know you've been sharing those as well. I'll share a lot of the research and the reports and whatnot. But, you know, here's the thing. The basics are this. We know what people are looking for. We know what people are looking for in their leaders. We know what drives better performance. We know what engages people. Again, it's a matter of finding the companies, and there are a lot of them out there, that embrace this idea and want to work on it continually. And those are the people that I can do the most for. The people that understand, we know John P. Cotter, who's a great business mind, said just a couple of years ago, he said, anybody who's not growing in business is dying. And he didn't mean it necessarily in the size of your company. He means to innovate, to create, to look for the next solution, right? And that's what we're talking about. So I'll share with you, you know, a little in closing, one of the greatest lessons that I learned from the martial arts, and I repeat it probably 20 times every time I talk, is that perfection is not a destination. It's a never-ending process, right? And every small step we can take reinforces that we are engaged in the process of perfection. Now, when we share that, again, like I said, from the front lines up, when we share that, we're willing to share our power, share our authority, and share this process of mentoring with other folks, then great things happen. And, you know, again, we can share the data. It's out there. It's not hard to find. But we also have to remember that the data is the data. We have to get people in. And you know, and I love getting in there with folks and sharing these ideas and talking about it, and let's make it a reality instead of just a bunch of figures on a piece of paper, right?
Love that, Jim. Love it. Listen, I really appreciate all your knowledge, your input, your conversation today. Thank you so much for joining us. To anybody, Jim is also a speaker at the Elite Speakers Bureau, so if anyone is interested in getting Jim to speak at their events, corporate events, any kind of event, please give us a call, 949 844-1410 or visit the website at www.theelitespeakersbureau.com. Jim, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for your work with the domestic violence. That's something that's always been a crusade for me as well, and I really, really appreciate all the hard work you're doing with that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Take care. Have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next Tuesday night for another great show. For more information about upcoming shows, visit us at www.outreachradioshow.com.